All right, Stephanie, whenever you're ready.
Okay. I'm Stephanie. I'm 38 years old. I'm recording from my home in Lake Oswego, Oregon. And I'm talking with Nicole, my friend and coworker.
And my name's Nicole McCaffrey. I am 43 years old. I'm recording from my house in Happy Valley, Oregon. And I'm talking to Stephanie, who is my friend and coworker at Dornbecker. Okay, so Stephanie, I have known you for a long time, but I don't think we've really talked too much about where you grew up. And I'm curious, like, what kind of a child were you?
I'm the youngest of five kids. And so I think I learned by watching other people. I guess I'd probably say silly and like persistent. Just kind of, my brother would always said, when you're little, you just like get knocked down and then you just get right back up. And like, I'd wait for you to cry, but you just keep going. So I think he just always kind of reminded me of that. And so I kind of like to take on that persona of like, okay, brush yourself up, get up, you can do it. So.
Were you here? Did you grow up here in Oregon or?
What? Oh, in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. So my parents still live over there. We visit pretty often. And And then my siblings range in age from 50 to me, 38. So it's kind of nice. We're all roughly 3 years apart. So it's kind of like the older kids who like kind of helped raise me a little bit too, you know. You get that like team aspect in the family where everybody's kind of helping each other out. So yeah, my mom, I don't know, I'm probably closest with my older sister, who's she kind of helped raise me a lot too. My mom has MS and when I was one, I think Stacy carried me around a lot because my mom couldn't, you know, like, so as a baby, she definitely helped out in that realm. And then there were different times they would just, different siblings would help with different conflicts going on. But yeah, overall, I think we're like a very close-knit family, and I don't know. Lots of humor and team aspects, I guess, that helped me kind of be who I am. So.
That's awesome. And tell me about about becoming a parent yourself.
Oh my gosh. I had my first daughter last November during the pandemic. And that was definitely like, just totally life changing. So it's been really cool, and just, I think I'm still processing being a parent, where you're like, whoa, like, I know where you came from. I know you're my daughter. This is just like how it all works is just so incredible. And just like watching her like start talking and telling me that she's like done and all of those things is so cool. You're like, you are absorbing so much, little sponge. Like, it's so neat. Yeah. But it's definitely been like, it's like your little heart's outside your body. So you're like, watching them.
I feel like it's always really relatable for me to talk to other parents about how much they love their kids.
Yeah.
My daughters are teenagers now, all three of them. It just blows my brain. It gets better, which I didn't, at least that's been my experience. I did not expect that. I thought like, oh, you have this baby, and then, you know, you always kind of wish you could like rewind time a little bit, you know, to get that back. And yes, it goes fast, but it just, the whole parenting process has gotten better. It's just challenging in different ways every stage, but it just gets better.
Yeah.
It's the best thing ever.
Yeah, I'm so excited, like, to be able to talk with her and, like, get to know more about her personality and stuff. And because I see it, I see it a lot. And then, but it's like, I can't wait till you can use all these words to tell me what's going on in your little noggin. So,
yeah, just wait until you're learning stuff from her. Mm-hmm. That's some of the, I've had my kids, like, all have different things that they excel in. Like, yeah. My oldest daughter's like a real geek about music in a good way. She loves that stuff. And yeah. She is always teaching me, you know, analyzing stuff about music. It just blows my brain. It's like a whole nother language, just kind of how medical stuff is a whole nother language. Yeah. So it's really cool when they, you know, figure out their thing. And then
does she play it?
It came from me, but you're a very different human, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. That's so cool. Does she play an instrument or anything?
Well, she has taught herself how to play the guitar and can mess around on a piano pretty well, but her voice is her instrument. I mean, she is so talented. It just amazes me. So,
I wish
I could sing. I try. Yeah. I also try to dance like Ava, my other daughter, and I still can't floss to save my life. It's really hard to like coordinate those pieces together.
It's because it's such a rigid dance. You're just too smooth for it. That's what I say.
Yeah. I got that 80s groove going on. Thank you, Stephanie, for that vote of confidence.
Yeah.
I'm curious about how you became a respiratory therapist.
Oh, I was at Boise State, and I was trying to get into nursing school there, and my grades weren't spectacular, and it was all based on this, like, one test that was like reading math, and you had to basically score like a 98 on it to get into the program. And I was very nervous about taking tests and kind of had a little bit of like dyslexia, like reading and mostly like my confidence in my reading skills was very low because I would have to like reread things. I think I have a very creative mind, but it's hard when I'm reading something because I want to make up the story that's going on. And I'm like, no, focus on what is happening on the page. Don't try to make up your story. That is. So I have to like kind of stay focused, really focused when I'm reading something. And I didn't get into the program. I was very bummed out. And I went through the catalog and for Boise State, and I was like, okay, how can I graduate in a couple years? Because I was supporting myself through college and was trying to figure out like financially how I could continue with school. And so I looked through the catalog, and it said, I was like, oh, respiratory therapy, I could graduate with that in a couple of years. I have no idea what it is. No one in my family is medical at all. So I had no other, I knew that there's like a nurse and a doctor in the medical field, and that's about it. And so I signed up for all the classes. And then after I signed up for all the classes, I read the little section down at the bottom that said applications due May 15th or, and it was like June. So I then deleted myself from all of those classes and made up some other classes. I think I was taking like, I filled in my schedule with other things I needed to take, but they were mostly filler classes like water polo and like, you know, nothing. It was, I was not looking forward to my third year. And so I went to start school a week before school. I was doing like a backpacking trip with the outdoor program. So I was leading the freshmen through like a backpacking, climbing, whitewater rafting, like week long thing to like as an introduction to school. And I called my mom and she goes, you need to call this lady. She's called here like three times. So it was the director of the RT program. And she said, I saw your grades and I saw that you had signed up for the classes, but then dropped them. And I was just wondering if you wanted to start on Monday. And I was like, yes, yes. And it felt very like kindred and destined and, you know, just these stars aligned. And I started totally excelling in school because I understood why I needed to know something. Mm. And that was just like I got really good grades in RT school because it made sense to me. It's like mechanical and it's plumbing in a way, you know? So very like science driven, and then and puzzles. I really like puzzles. So so I got into RT school that way, and I just am so thankful for my RT background. And you know, I honestly think my RT education was like the best. It was very concept driven, and I'm just like very proud to be an RT. So I still have my license, so I still like kind of like identify as an RT, but it's just something I get to still carry in my pocket.
Well, I think you are both 100%. I mean, that and RTs are, I think, the unsung heroes of this COVID-19 pandemic. I can't say enough, but I've just been really impressed how you have transitioned from that RT role to a just exceptional PICU nurse. Oh, it's been really something to watch, just the way you advocate for your patients. And I was listening to you one time in rounds advocating for this really sick baby, and we had like a big team of people. You know, sometimes rounds are so overwhelming because there's just so many people there, and we had differing opinions from the NICU and the PICU and all these different specialists, but you were the one who was there at the bedside that we could argue knew the baby as well as anyone. Mm-hmm. And just your advocacy is really, really, really impressive. And this is why I like having conversations like this with people, because there's stuff you learn, like hearing you talk about struggling with some of the academic pieces of school, like kind of blows my brain out. I would have never guessed that because you're so articulate. Yeah.
Thank you.
I've been a nurse now for like almost 15 years. And sometimes I have said to some of the nurses that have been here for a long time that, you know, now getting into nursing school is so difficult, and a lot of it is grades and tests driven. Mm-hmm. And in some ways, I feel like that has been a negative to the profession. It weeds some people out that really are those critical thinker, creative minds, like what you're talking about that you have. Mm-hmm. So the happy accident of landing on our respiratory therapy was just great for you and for me. I'm so thankful to work with you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
So what made you, did you have like an aha moment that made you want to be a nurse? Or was it afterwards, or was that always kind of there? How did that transition happen?
I think I think it was kind of a little bit always there. And then I get a little bit restless in continuing to like learn and grow and be able to transition at different points in my life to different things. And that's pretty tough with respiratory therapy, where, you know, I started working at Dornbecker in 2006, and then I started on the ECMO team in 2007. So that was like a really nice new piece. Mm-hmm. And I was still a pretty young RT. And then I started doing PANDA in 2010, which is that transport team. And that I had a lot of learning and growing to do, because it's just you and a nurse in a sometimes very rural hospital that can be very scared of working with children just because they appear differently. And kids, as you know, like kids get sick so much faster than adults do, and they go downhill really quick. So it can be pretty scary for people that don't work with them every day. And so there was a lot of trying to figure out who who is who in an emergency mm-hmm. room and who is helpful and knowledgeable and how they can help you with the patient care of everything. It was so much more like PR than I ever realized it would be. And I liked that. And I liked educating other nurses and RTs that were at other facilities. So that was really nice. And then I kind of got to the point where I was like, I don't want to do transport forever. It's been like a great learning experience, but figuring out where I want to go and then being able to transition into multiple different things throughout the rest of my life, like as I get older, you know, I don't want to be working 24-hour shifts or mm-hmm. and I still wanted to learn and grow a lot more. So definitely like nursing has helped in that realm, because there is so much always like mm-hmm. to learn. So especially in a pediatric ICU where you get hearts and neuro kids and, you know, just all sorts of things. So and it's nice because you get the age range difference too. So what's normal for a newborn versus a 15-year-old. So yeah. How did you get into nursing?
This is one of my favorite stories ever. I'm surprised I haven't told you this one. You know, I grew up always knowing I wanted to work in the in pediatrics, actually. I always said I wanted to be a pediatrician. I was like, my mom would get sometimes overwhelmed with injuries and blood and stuff like that. So, I mean, I always remember like cleaning up scrapes and, you know, it just was like, don't know. I think I'm just one of those helper type people that kind of lost my way the end of high school and didn't have a lot of motivation or know what direction I was going. But it was Grace, my oldest, when she was born. I was like immediately looking at this child I loved so much. And I was like, I got to get this together. I have to provide a better life for her. And the labor and delivery nurse that cared for me was amazing. And I had never been in the hospital before. And so I don't think I really understood what nurses did. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time I realized that nurses are the ones at the bedside, the most one-on-one patient care. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that was really the moment. And, you know, I've worked in the PICU for most of my career. There was a period of time when I worked in an outpatient position, like trying something different. It was really interesting when I left. You know, the stuff that I missed the most about critical care was giving baths, brushing hair, you know, cleaning up trauma patients when they finally got stable enough that we could do that. Like, I would have dreams about, like, covering a patient up, you know, pulling that blanket up around them. It was really interesting because I thought, you know, I really missed that. A lot of the nuts and bolts of, you know, what I think are the nuts and bolts of critical care nursing. But I don't know. I really like the role that mm-hmm. taking care of people, and we're the ones that get to be there. Mm-hmm. There's pros and cons to that. But
yeah, I like that too. I think it's nice. It's like the hospital's not a very super comfortable place for people to be, right? Like a lot of people are there and for various circumstances, mm-hmm. and I want to invite them in there like it's our home and make them feel as comfortable as possible, because it's like such all the circumstances around being in the hospital are so different. And I just want to be like, okay, you don't have to worry about, you know, feeling comfortable in this room, you know, like,
yeah.
Just to kind of.
So Stephanie, I'm curious, can you tell me a story from your years, either as an RT or as a nurse, that just really sticks with you, something really impactful that you still think about?
One of them is we had this asthmatic kiddo that was, she had a breathing tube in, and she was on the most meds I've ever seen anybody on for asthma. And her blood gas was really awful. And they were talking about maybe putting her on ECMO. And I was working with another RT, and I was like just talking about all the, trying to think, is there something else we can do before we put her on to ECMO? And then I thought, oh, let's just drop her cuff, like the cuff around her breathing tube. And that gave her enough, like getting rid of her carbon dioxide, that she was able to stay off of ECMO, and it gave the meds enough time to work for her, because she was so sick. And I just like really, I was like, oh man, just trying to think. I've thought of everything inside the box, what's outside of the box, and what is the, you know, what's going on here that we can help, you know, help in a different kind of way that we don't normally think of every day. And I think I was just really, really proud of myself for thinking of that idea. And then she ended up not having to go on to ECMO, and I think getting that breathing tube out like the following day, which was awesome. It was such a good feeling. And then one of the many reasons I just love working in the PICU is just the teamwork aspect of it. And there was a night shift I was working, and Dana Brainer was on, and there was a kid that had gone into the river in a kayak. Mm-hmm. And I just remember being in awe of him, and just him saying, the only way this kid's going to make it is if we put him onto ECMO, mm-hmm. and then we warm him up nice and slowly, because they had gotten the blood pressure back, but it was very, very little blood pressure. Mm-hmm. We ended up, so we called everybody in the middle of the night. It was just so incredible. And there was like no debate about it. It was just like, this is the right answer. Uh-huh. We're doing this. And it was just so, so lovely. And that kid, like, is totally fine. Mm-hmm. Had been down in the river for quite a long time. And I just remember being like, yes, that is the teamwork that like helps patients get better. So I still think about that, and just, it gives me all the warm and fuzzies.
Don't you? I feel like that's one of the things that makes working at PICU mm-hmm. so possible, is that kids are so resilient, and we see this miraculous stuff. I mean, obviously we see hard to see things, like mm-hmm. nobody should ever lose their child. Like that's mm-hmm. just not right, but yeah. It's part of the world. But then we have situations like that happen. I remember that case and that kid going back to calculus class.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. Just so cool.
Like, and even just that situation with the asthmatic, where you're putting your 2 cents into that collaborative process. And it was like, that was the answer that kept, I mean, the difference between getting the breathing tube out the next day and all the things that can go wrong with ECMO, mm-hmm. and even just the stress of a family member having to witness their child on ECMO ever.
Yeah.
That collaboration and the teamwork is, I agree, one of the best parts about working where we work, and we work with a lot of smart people.
Yeah. So yeah.
That's really nice. Mm-hmm. So now I feel like you've had quite a bit of experience in the medical field now, between being an RT and being a nurse. What would you say to your younger self, that person that was searching, you know, when you were looking through that, that book, what kind of lesson have you learned that you would share?
I really think like, I felt so like, I don't know, I felt very like lost at the time. And I just, I'm so glad that I got into respiratory, and I don't think I would do it a different way. Like, I think I would be a totally different nurse if I didn't have my respiratory background. And so I don't know. I think in a way it's like, just keep working hard, keep trucking along, and something is going to come along, you know? So, and it did. It's so cool. And, yeah, it's just, I was also kind of, you were talking earlier, Nicole, about, being the caretaker in your family. And, at one point Oliver asked me, like, how did you get into the medical field? And I was like, I don't know. I think we took care of like the, older neighbors in our neighborhood. Like my mom always had that, like had that role, as in she would go she'd make sure we shoveled all their walks in the winter, which it was a lot because, we lived in Idaho. There's a lot of snow. And then, the lady behind us, my mom was friends with her, and she was probably in her 80s or, and so she would send me over there to stay with her when she got home from the hospital. And I was like, what am I supposed to do? And she goes, well, just tell me if she needs, like, help her out. And if, if she needs something, then you're there in case she needs something. And I was like, okay. So, and then my grandma had foot surgery and I went and stayed with her. And so it's just like, I think I was always just that in that role too, where you're like, oh, okay, how can I help out? This is it's funny. But I knew I kind of needed I'm just really glad it worked out the way it did. And just, I think, have faith, keep working hard, and keep being interested in learning things, because I think that kind of leads you to the right path. My dad is very an inquisitive person, and he's even like taking a class online. He loves geology, and so I just really admire his like wanting to learn so many things, that he like sits through this guy's class every week. He like gets online to watch this class, and I just think it's so cool, because he's like, you know, as long as I got my brain, I can do lots of things. I can learn so much. So I just think that that's really, really, really cool, and a good attitude about, getting older and enjoying life. So.
I love that. I love that. I feel like you had a really good equation in your life that got you here, you know. All those pieces came together in this great way, and it's like, no wonder you're excelling so much in this. I mean, I hope that you are feeling that and you're getting that feedback, because I can imagine going from being top of your game as RT and then being a new learner again is got to be interesting. But there's a reason we're here having this conversation today, because we're calling you out for being someone who exhibits a PICU principles. Like, you're such an exceptional coworker. But then even just that clinical piece is really, you're doing a great job. And I hope that you, I hope that you know that.
Yeah. I think like the biggest thing for me is like, if I'm doing something, that I always want feedback. I try to ask people all the time for it. Cause I'm like, if there's a different way to do something, and I like, let me know. Cause there's so many different ways to go about things, and, and I'm interested in the ways other people do it too. And I like going into other people's rooms and helping out, because I see the way they are doing things. And I think that's how that kind of helped me out when I was on Panda. Cause I got to see all these really exceptional nurses work and interact with families and at really tough points, and be like, ooh, I want to pick that up. I like that communication style, or I like that, I like that confidence or ease, or, you know, just getting to work with these with nurses that have kind of mastered their skills. So I'll even like, I do that in the PICU too. I pop into people's rooms and just kind of pick their brain and observe what's going on. So, yeah.
Yeah. We all can learn from each other. Even, mm-hmm. I've been like doing, being a charge nurse has been a totally new role for me this last year. I spend a lot of time in different people's rooms more than I ever did before. And I'm always learning, even like these brand new nurses that are in our PICU that I'm like, how did I not know this trick? You know, we all have something to learn from each other. It's, mm-hmm. I love that collaboration.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Well, you're excelling in the charge nurse role, just so you know. I know it's a tough one, especially when we're short staffed, but you're doing a great job making people feel supported and helping out.
So. Well, that's the part I like the most, I think, is like trying to help keep the team together, you know, mm-hmm. as best I can. So.
Yep.
Yeah, it's been challenging to learn the role. Is a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. It's hard in different ways than I thought it was going to be. And then the COVID pandemic on top of it, it's visitation restrictions, like telling parents that they can't be with their critically ill child, or that they can't be together, you know, with their critically ill child, is really, that was one of the biggest challenges of my entire career. Looking forward to that being gone. It's been really hard.
Me too. Because I've just like, the more, the merrier for the parents.
I know.
Just like, you know, this kid better than anybody. Mm-hmm. So, you know, their baseline better than anybody. And I want your input if you think something's different. So
that's always been me. As long as I can safely get to the
patient,
all the emergency equipment in an emergency.
Yeah.
The more the merrier. So mm-hmm. we'll get back to that eventually. I think the research all backs up that that's the best. Mm-hmm. But it's challenging times.
Yeah, it is. I try to just, you know, even when I'm feeling down, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to go in and do the best I can today. And then, you know, and then go. But just being able to, I think I have gotten a little bit better about that, because you need to, because there's so much stress that is like, okay, I'm going to just go in and do the best I can and help as much as I can. And then I'm going to go home and recharge. So get some baby snuggles or, you know.
That perspective and being able to let go is important. I don't know. Hillary told me when I became new to the charge nurse role, that literally take one thing at a time or 1 hour at a time, because sometimes it's just so overwhelming.
Yeah.
So sometimes that's all we can do. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to fix this problem right now, or just address this one, and the other 35 will have a way of working themselves out in time.
Yep. You got it. Exactly.
I think we're about out of time. This has really just been a nice conversation. Thank you for sharing your time with me. And again, we're so grateful to have you in the PICU. You're such a blessing to our unit and our patients.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be working with you and everyone in the PICU. It's really nice.